We are going to, in a moment, welcome Jord and Loretta, the amazing Hoopers, on stage. As we continue our series about the Word. And so why don't you welcome them, give them a big round of applause and encourage them. Be a mate. You can have my mate. Yes, I can share. We're good at sharing.
Oh, they're both good sides, aren't they? You guys can be seated. Thank you. Ah, dear. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, for those who don't know, so this is Loretta, my mother. So
this is Jordan, my son.
Anything we say which seems a bit inappropriate to each other, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So as Pastor Chris has started our recent series about reading the Word, we thought we'd continue that with a bit more of a casual chat and talk about reading the Word. What does that actually mean? What are some strategies? How do we do that? A bunch of different things. Obviously, one of the most important things to reading the Word is to drink your coffee while doing it. So, you know, the main priorities are being sorted out here. And then one other thing. So who was here last week? And then who brought their umbrella, aka their Bible, as Pastor Chris talked about? Just, you know, bit of a homework. Classic overachiever over here. We're going to be here a while.
Just a small thing.
Yeah, so, and that's not even all the Bibles. So as we were talking and looking at how we could do this and what this would look like, one of the conversations that came up was about, you know, the interesting thing of like, so how long have you been a Christian for, without disclosing anything to?
35 maybe years. I can't remember exactly, you know. Yeah, a long time.
Yeah.
Oh no, it must be longer than that because it was before you were born, and you're
older than 35.
Yes, I'd say so. Yeah, so it's probably close to 40 years.
So that's a long time.
Yes, it is.
So I guess one of the questions, like growing up, I always, like at home, you were always reading the Bible. Other things as well. We're both prolific readers, but that's one of those things that there was always a Bible out that you were reading, that you were going through. So I guess, like, how have you kept reading the Bible fresh over circa 40 years?
Well, I mean, I think one of the keys has been to vary the way that I do it. I've done, as a church, we did that cover to cover 1 year, and I've done Bible plans that go through the Bible in a year, like there's a Nikki Gumbel plan, which is really good, so I've done that. And then also particular studies. The YouVersion Bible app has some good studies, like a study on the Book of Psalms or a study on Proverbs or whatever. So I've done those sort of things as well. If I felt challenged or encouraged by God to read, say, Ephesians, I'll spend a great deal of time studying that in a whole lot of different versions. So you get a better perspective, and also, there have been times when I've used a devotional book, like a daily devotional, as a starting point. But the key to, or one of the things for me in all of that is not just reading for the sake of reading, but asking God to show me stuff when I'm reading.
Yeah.
And there's so much stuff in there. And even after 40 years, there's still so much stuff in there. And so, you know, ask God to show you a new thing and he will. Trouble is, after 40 years, sometimes, you know, you get a new thing and you lose or you forget four or five other things, which is why you've got to keep doing it, keep filling it up. And when you do find something, you know, something that triggers you or speaks to you, I really have over the years have found it really helpful to look at that in a whole lot of different versions, a whole lot of different translations, you know, and so sometimes you think, how do you, if you're not a person who's overly fond of reading, how do you get into reading? How do you get into reading your Bible? And the truth is, you just start, and you don't start with, I'm just going to start at the beginning and work my way through to the end, because Genesis, Exodus, all right, good stories. Then you get to Leviticus, and it's like, nah, forget that. put the Bible away. So you just start with a verse, and then spread it. What's either side of that verse, and then you can get up to a whole chapter, then a whole book. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because for me, being a big reader, there's that natural tendency to just want to start at the start and read it through. But as you said, there are some more challenging bits to get through, shall we say. But then there are some, you know, long lists of, you know, who this person begat this person, who begat this person, like, you know, like, and it is when you understand the context and when you can put all of that behind it, it's really great. But probably as a newer Christian or as somebody who's not necessarily fond of reading, it's not the easiest thing to get into.
No.
Whereas I think sometimes even things like the Bible app does a Bible verse of the day. Like, why not start there? That's a really easy thing of remove the barriers. It tells you, read this verse, and then you could look at, like you said, where does that verse live? What chapter is that in? What's going on in that chapter?
But even it, oh, well, I don't know. No. I haven't bought an advertiser for ages, but they have a verse of the day in that. If you don't want to, yeah.
Do they? Didn't know that.
Yeah. They have little quotes and they have a verse of that. Well, yeah. So you can get your verse from anywhere.
Just do it.
No, just do it. Yes.
But I think the other thing that you brought up was really interesting is, you know, like devotionals and other sorts of books. Because I remember even just having a book as a kid that it was essentially like one long devotional about Isaiah 40. But you know, like that's really, looking back in hindsight now, that's what I can see it was about. But growing up as a kid, it was just like, it was a book about this kid whose mum had MS and he found a injured gull on the cliffside. And he nursed it back to health. But really, it was actually this really deep devotional unpacking that scripture. So I think the thing is, there are different ways to get into reading the word. And sometimes it's not always what you think. It might be reading the physical word and going through and reading chapters. But there might be other content out there that can help you find another way in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
It's true. It's good.
It's true that.
True that. So then the other thing is, I guess, over your life, you know, a lot of us have a lot of life experience and we go through different seasons. How has reading the Bible, or how has the way that you've read the Bible or read Word or engaged with it changed in different seasons of your life?
Yeah, yeah. You know, obviously when stuff is going on, stuff that's not good, or stuff that's challenging, the Bible reading that you do then is way more targeted. The Bible reading that I did was way more targeted. I would find and memorize relevant scriptures, relevant passages that made a difference, that helped me get through that tough time. And so I would find them, and sometimes I would write them out again put little tabs, highlight, scribble in there, probably don't really need it, but The thing about highlighting, Sola would highlight a particular verse, and any sort of personal revelations I would write in the. That's the thing about having a proper Bible. I mean, I know you got them on your phone and all of that, but I like to scribble and I like to write things. So I would highlight them. And that was like a good highlighting, not like the bad highlighting when you go to a conference or you buy a book and you think you highlight it for somebody else. No, but this is good highlighting. This is highlighting that you do for yourself. So in those tough times, just having that word that you could go back to all the time was really, because I wrote this down because I couldn't memorize this one. Isaiah 55:11 says, you know, the word that goes out of my mouth shall not return void without producing an effect. It shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So having, for me, in those tough times, going to my Bible and grabbing a little nugget out of there, and then speaking that as first thing, not speaking all my doubts and worries and all of that sort of stuff, but speaking the word of God gives it the best chance of getting a godly outcome. When times are going well, obviously, Bible reading tended to change a bit more, and it was a lot more about gratitude. So I was sort of reading a lot of the Psalms and stuff that talked about the goodness of God, and just, you know, how thankful I was that I had a relationship with him. And then also then I guess there were times when you were just plain flat out just busy, just so much going on. And in those times I reckon my Bible reading was sometimes just a verse, you know, and just stuff like, you know, be still and know that I'm God. You know, come to me if you're burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So over the seasons that you go through, maybe the way that you read the Bible and how much you read it changes, but, you know, even if it's only a little bit, it's got to keep that thing going. You don't want to, you know, have to start all over again, and get, you have to get to Leviticus again.
Full Leviticus.
Yeah.
And what's interesting as well is I recently got like served an ad on Instagram for what was essentially a jar that has a whole bunch of different colored pieces of paper with Bible verses written on it. But it says on the outside, like, you know, like if you're feeling like blue, anxious, like, as well, like pick a blue verse and read that, like, or if you're feeling yellow, which is, you know, fearful, or if one's happy. It's like, so it was like, it was a really interesting thing for me of going, you can do that sort of stuff. You don't have to go and hunt for it in the moment. You can prepare for it. So if you're not in the middle of a crisis, you could actually spend some of your time going, hey, that's a really great verse for when I'm worried. Write it down, stick it in like your book, stick it somewhere so that when you go, when I'm worried, I've got something that I can go back to, rather than go to the worry, go to the verse.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, just rather than buy it on Instagram, just go to Loretta and say.
That's the other good thing about highlighting in the beginning. So you would find a verse and you would highlight it, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody later would say, you know, where's that verse on? And you think, I don't know, but I know it's in orange highlighter and it's on the right-hand page. So that narrows it down a bit.
Yeah. That's how everyone's brain works, right?
Yeah, that's how I work.
Maybe just us. Yeah. I think, the other thing for me with some of that is also, like, the way that I find a good way to get into reading and through different situations as well is through music. Obviously, I do lots of music things and I'm a creative person. Yay. But for me, like a lot of the songs we sing are based on scripture. Obviously, we make sure that they are theologically sound, not just pick ones that because they sound good. You know, got to try and hit both of those columns. But even like, you know, the song that we sang before, just before Ring and Robe, which is, you know, has lots of woes in it. You know, I read any of the Psalms with David, there's lots of woes. So that's in there. But like also all of those verses of that song tell different Bible stories. When you actually start thinking about what it is, it's like, you know, oh, you know, there's a shout for the walls to come down. It's like, okay, we're talking about Jericho. Or like, oh, there's prisoners who can't dance. So we're talking about Paul and Silas in prison. Like, you know, there's the story of the prodigal son in that song. Like, there are songs that you can sing and that you can get scripture on the inside of you without necessarily having to pick up a book and read it. If you're not a reader, if you're not a visual person, maybe you're a hearing person. There are so many songs that are that way. And then, you know, Brendan read beautifully Psalm 23, and that was basically inspiration for a song that I wrote,
yeah,
called Lead Me, which we've sung here before. And like, you know, sometimes it's just like you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Like if it's there and if it's good,
yeah,
you know, it's almost like it's just doing a different translation. As you know, as Pastor Chris talked about last week, that you go from the completely literal word by word translation to what is the vibe. And really, like, as a musician, that's what it is. It's like going, well, what are we trying to convey here? What is the emotion? What is the story? How do we get that across? Because we know that music has so much power to get to bypass people's brains and kind of get into their spirit. And so to me, that's one of those great ways of finding those songs. You know, in Joshua, it says, meditate on the word day and night.
Yeah.
I'm not really into meditation, or I can't just say and read the same thing over and over again. I'm a bit of a rereader of fiction books sometimes, but just reading the same verse over and over again, I find really hard. But if it's in a song,
yeah,
and I'm singing it, and as you know, it gets stuck in your head, and then as I'm walking throughout my day, that's constantly playing in the background loop of my brain, and that's one way that I find that I can help meditate on the word.
Yeah.
Is finding a song, finding something, finding another way in that really helps you get that on.
And just speaking of that Psalm 23 and Lead Me, it's about time you did another one. There's 150 Psalms. Cut her off.
No. Well, look, I did do one recently, but it was more about the Lord's Prayer. But look, we'll see how that goes.
All right, keep working.
One other thing I thought would be fun to talk about would be like, what is your favorite Bible verse, and do you have one? Has it stayed the same? Has it changed?
That is so hard to just have one verse, and I reckon there's probably about five or six that are my favorite. But saying which one is the most favorite, that's like saying which of your children is the most favorite. You know, and it depends where you are.
The other one.
You know, and at different times and different circumstances, sometimes they're not the favourite. And it's like that. You know, there's half a dozen Bible verses, that just encourage me so much and speak to me in all sorts of situations. Sometimes it might be Ephesians 3:20 that says, you know, that God can do more than you can ask or think, imagine, or even dare to dream. So, you know, so if you're facing a situation that looks pretty not so good, you know, that verse is something, you know, it's not up to be. God can do a whole lot more than even in our little pre-brains, how much we can think or imagine, you know. And then there's Romans 8:28 that says, you know, that God will work all things together for good for those who love him. Again, if you're in a situation that doesn't look like it's so good, it's not up to you. God can turn that around. God can work that out for good. And you know, the book of Romans is so good, you know, and in chapter 8 and 31, another one of my favourites says, if God is for you, or if God is for me, then nothing and no one can stand against that. So So there's lots of, those are just three. But you can't leave a John 10:10 out of the picture. You know, the devil comes to steal and rob and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full and have it abundantly." So there's all sorts of situations where you can use. One of my favourites. I will let you use them as well. We have my lovely mother would often tell us stuff, and then tell us the same stuff, and then tell us the same stuff. And so I have this thing where I say to the boys and family now, like Granny, tell me if I've told you this already, and only if you say that. If you said that to Mum, she would tell you anyway. And she'd start hearing you say, yeah, you told me. But she would carry on the story. So I'm just letting you know that even if you say, you've told me that verse before, it ain't going to change. I'm going to tell you it again. That might have been Carmen said in prayer or something, you know, that faith, hearing the word of God and speaking the word of God and reading the word of God builds your faith. And so, no apologies. I'm just going to keep chucking it out there. What about you, George? Have you got a favourite?
Probably, like, my long-time favourite would be Isaiah 40:31. Probably, yeah. I don't know whether it's influenced by that book that I read as well as a kid, whether it's just nostalgia factor. But I think the thing for me is like, you know, I think probably everyone knows the, you know, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint, which is just really encouraging for me to go, you know, I think we can all find ourselves getting busy and trying to do it all ourselves and reliant on our own strength. And so just remembering that even, you know, young people get tired and weary. So, you know, to put my trust in God is always a good reminder for me. But I think also going back, it's like, you know, before it says that, do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God. Like, basically, you know, he's this incredible, big, powerful being, and he's going to do things in a different way than you've ever imagined.
Yeah.
So why are you trying to do it yourself?
Yeah.
And that's just, I think, as that's stuck with me over many years, because I think over different situations in life, it's always relevant. It's always relevant that, you know, and maybe I'm just a bit slow, that I need to stop just doing all myself. But I think, like, it's just, that's just our human reaction is to something happens and try and jump in and fix it or do it. And so it's just that really interesting thing to have something that I can constantly go back to say, hang on, reprioritize.
Yeah.
Fix my eyes back on Jesus.
Yeah.
Put him at the center, sort that out. And then let's go. And then, you know, then some of those verses that you talked about then come into play, because it's, you know, if all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose, I need to make sure I've fixed out the love God and called according to his purpose before things will start working themselves out.
And, you know, even if you make a mistake or you sin, that doesn't change the fact that doesn't separate you from the love of God. Nothing, zil, zip, nada, separates you from the love of God. And you know, you can use that anytime. Anytime you need to be encouraged. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think we'll wrap it up there, because, look, honestly, we could talk about this for a long time, and, you know, there's lots more to unpack, like, you know, about, you know, different, I think, like, also, like, the history of looking through Bibles and looking at all the notes and, like, looking at that journey of where you've come from and where you've been and all of that. Yeah. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff to unpack there, or different ways of reading the Bible with, you know, there's wonderful audio books and audio versions and things. But I think,
yeah, I would just say also that like the printed Bible and the print, this beautiful, lovely copy. It's a copy of Jane Eyre, which is one of my favourite other books. and it's beautiful and it's got no scribbles, no nothing. But Bibles are meant to be like this, a bit daggy around the edges, well-worn, well-used, full of highlights, full of other bits and pieces as well, and full of little reminders, full of little pictures of Bailey when she was cute. I found that in a Bible. I know. I mean, you still are cute, but when she was cuter. So I would... My encouragement would be that after 40 years of studying and reading the Bible, is that the Bible is such a resource and such a blessing. It's a way to know God and a way for to know you, to know who God sees you are, and to see his purposes and his plans for your life. So, yeah, read it, I reckon.
It's good advice. I'll do as my mum says and I'll read my Bible. And I encourage you to do the same. The fear of God is nothing. No. Anyway, I think I'll stop digging there and I'll hand back over to Karma to help take us home.
Why don't we give Jord and Loretta a big round of applause? Oh, we can tidy those up. We'll get those later. I actually want to take a moment to honour these two and their wonderful family. Jord has served as our music director for many, many years. Denton and Loretta are founding members of this church. They have generations of their family in the house of God. They are the most faithful, encouraging, God-centered people, and we are so very fortunate that God has called them to this community to love people and serve God, and they do that with their whole heart, without complaining. God gives opportunities to those who love him and will serve him and will do just anything. And they are amazing examples of that. You know, they're here setting up, cleaning toilets, you know, they're worshipping God. What you see on the surface, there is so much more underneath. And if you go, I want to know God, I want to serve him, how do I do that? These are the people you go to. There are amazing people in this church. Amazing mothers, grandmothers of the faith, Loretta, Jane, Liz, Pastor Vicky. You go, I need someone, you know, no offense intended, but who has been around, who has been through some stuff, who knows the word of God. This is where you go. This is why we're in community, because God places people in our lives to help us. And you go, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what verse to go to. You ask Liz, I'm going through a really hard time. What's a Bible verse I can use? These are the people you go to. Amazing. We are so, so lucky to be in a community full of people like this. Amazing. I really pray that you felt encouraged today and you go home and go, yeah, just gonna pick that up. I'm just gonna choose a verse. You know, people like Barry have amazing wisdom when it comes to reading the Word of God. And I know there are seasons where Barry has gone, yeah, I'm just gonna stick that verse on my dashboard. So every time I get in and out of the car, it's there and I read it and I'm reminded. There's so many ways. Ash has sticky notes on her mirror. I'm working with Ash now. She's just started her own business and I walk in to use the bathroom like, oh, I'm so feel so loved and encouraged today. There's sticky notes with scriptures all over the mirror and the chalkboard above the toilet that says, you're amazing. I'm like, oh, yes, thank you. Hey, there's so many ways to do it. And you know what? You know, even I love the Bible app. I love that verse of the day and the devotion that goes with it. if nothing else happens, that's amazing. I go, yeah, got it. I've read your word. I've connected. I've heard you. It's so encouraging.